Okay. Obviously, if Rav Huna bar Tachlifa doesn't hold of that rule of called of Hilchsuk Shmuel Bedine, we do hold of the rule of Hilchsuk Shmuel Bedine. So we would paskin like Shmuel in this case. Tosus, however, says that no, it's not that. First, Tosus quotes the Shita of Rashi, and then he quotes a different Teretz. He says, "Inami Hachem Estaver Time of the Rav." He says it could just be that Rav is in this particular case, Rav's opinion is the more logical opinion. So since his opinion is the more logical opinion, that's why we're more likely to paskin like Rav, even though normally we would say Hilchsa Kishmuel Bedine. And we're going to see over here, and since Shmuel goes out of his way a few lines earlier, Shmuel had gone out of his way to explain Rav Shita. That's what the Rush says, that since Shmuel went out of his way to explain Rav Shita, maybe that's more of an indication that in this case specifically, we'd be more likely to paskin like Rav than normally, and therefore it at least leaves it as a 50-50, and not with the Hilchsa Kishmuel Bedine. The Rashba and the Ritva say that we don't say Hilchsa Kishmuel Bedine unless when the Gemara itself indicates that we have a suffix, meaning in terms of us paskining, we cannot say, well, we have a rule Hilchsa Kishmuel Bedine, the Gemara may not have had that rule over here, but we have the rule. We only have that rule when the Gemara when the Gemara does not indicate otherwise. But over here, the Gemara clearly indicates that we are not applying Hilchsuk Shmuel Bedine, and therefore we cannot apply Hilchsuk Shmuel Bedine. But what is this idea of Kol Da'alim Gavar? So the Rush in Maseches Bava Basra, in the third parak of Bava Basra, in Simon Chav Beis, writes that the assumption of Kol Da'alim Gavar, it's Machlokes Rush and the Rashbam over there, that Kol Da'alim Gavar sounds like you let them fight it out, and whoever's stronger is going to win. So it sounds like it's not really justice, meaning we don't know what justice is over here. We don't know what's correct over here. So let them deal with it themselves. Let them figure it out themselves, and justice won't necessarily prevail. The Rush says, no, that's not what it means. Kol Da'alim Gavar says the Rush, means that we assume that the one who's in the right, the one who has the one who really owns the field, the one who really is correct in this Din Torah, is going to be Moser Nefesh more to fight, whether it be physically or whether it be with bringing more rayos, in order to make sure that he gets the field. So it's an assumption that the winner of whoever this of this fight is going to be the real winner, is going to be the one that's correct. Now obviously the problem is, that's what the Rush says over there, Maseches Bava Basra, when Kol Da'alim Gavar is applied in a case where there's not a machlokas in halacha, there's just a machlokas between these two people and we don't know who to believe. Over here, it's not an issue of ne'amanus. We know the situation. Situation is there's a river flowing, one guy has a field toward the top, the other guy has a field toward the bottom. It's a question in halacha. So the svara of the Rush, l'chora, does not apply to our Gemara. What do you mean? Whichever one is correct is going to be most nefesh more? The one that's correct doesn't even know if he's correct. He went to the basin and asked, what do I do? And they didn't know. So they didn't know what the halacha was. So it seems that in this case of Kol Da'alim Gavar, the Rush would have to say is not a classic case. It's not like all other Kol Da'alim Gavar that you find in Shas. That's what Taz writes in Choshen Mishpat, in Simon Kuf Lamed Tes, that you see from this Gemara, that this Gemara is a different kind of Kol Da'alim Gavar than the Rush would assume. It's always a question in the Chakira they say about Kol Da'alim Gavar, is do you assume that that's a psak or is it a siluk? Meaning is based in saying, we can't do anything about this, so we're just stepping away. Or is based in saying, no, we paskin Kol Da'alim Gavar. Meaning it sounds like a siluk, it sounds like they're stepping away. But if they're really stepping away, then the halacha should be that if one guy beats up the other guy today, so he's going to win. And then tomorrow, the other one goes to the gym and he works out, and he's able to beat him up back again and steal his stuff back. So then he would win, and we could just let it go on back and forth. So that's Machlokas Rishonim over there, if I'm not mistaken. Whether we actually say that they could just keep on beating each other up, or you say no. That Beis Din says, here, today, have a fight right now, or bring rayos however you want, and see you have a debate or a physical fight, whichever it's going to be, and whoever wins today gets to keep it, and that's it. That it's not going to be, we're not going to allow it to just drag on like that, in which case it sounds that Beis Din is issuing more of a psak, that called Olam Gavar, and that would be more in line with the Rush, that generally speaking, we say, okay, one-time fight, and we assume that the one who's in the right is going to be Moser Nefesh more than the other guy. Okay, says the Gemara Vayter, we're four lines before the wines get wide on Samach Lamed Beis. Rav Simi Bar Ashi Yasal Kamei Da Abaye, Rav Simi Bar Ashi came to Abaye, Amrlei Lusfan Mar Be Idna. So Amrlei Isni, so he said, I want you, Lusfan Mar Be Idna, he says, Yoshiveni Adoni Lilmo Beis Kavur, Rashi says, I want you to sit down with me to learn at a set time, meaning he's looking for a chavrusa. So he said, Amrlei Isli Idna Lididi, he says, I need time for my own learning. So Lusfan Mar Be Lele, he says, what about at night time? Amrlei Isli Mayelashki, he says, I'm sorry, I'm just really busy, I have water, I have to water my fields. So Amalei said, Anam Ashkina Leila Mar Maya Bimama Velusun Mar Belele. He says, how about this? I'll free up your night times by me going during the daytime and watering your fields, and that will free you up at night. Amalei Lachi says, okay, you want to water my field? That's good by me. So Azali Eli, so what did he do? He went to the people. Apparently, Abaye had a field that was right in the middle. I mean, the river was flowing. There are people who had fields at the top, people who had fields at the bottom. Machlok is Rav and Shmuel, which ones get to water first? Abaye definitely does not get to water first. His field was right in the middle. So sort of Simi Barashi went to the people on the top, Amrlahu, and he told them, Tasoisha Sumaya Bresh. He said, you know, the people on the bottom get the right to water their field first. That's the Shita of Rav, meaning that the people on the bottom get first. Azul Tasoi, he then went to the people on the bottom, Amrlahu, Eloisha Sumaya Bresh. He said, you know, Shmuel holds that the people on the top get to water their field first. So that way he got rid of everybody, he got rid of all the competition. So he was able to divert the water to the middle field, and he was able to water the fields very easily by tricking them in this way. So when he went to Abaye, so when he told him what he did, he said, I came up with a brilliant idea in order to make the watering of the field easier. So Abaye says, what are you doing? You're dancing on both sides of the issue over here. You can't say that to the bottom people that the top people get to go first, and to the top people that the bottom people get to go first. We for sure don't get to go first. So you're stealing. I don't approve of this. So Abaye refused to eat the fruits from that field for that year. Says Tosos, so what did Simi Barashi think? What, he thought that was okay? He thought it's okay to go and to steal? I mean, to tell people to do something that's definitely connected to halacha? So says Tosos, no, but who saw her kivin domer called dalim gavar yachal laharim aleim v'lo dami d'man of shach mitzi lo shasu v'loi v'tasai hu d'shayach called dalim gavar. And so says Tosos, what he thought was, Kaldon Gavar tells you that Beis Din is totally misalik themselves, so you could do whatever you want. Beis Din saying that there's no psak over here, so do whatever you want. It's a hefker, meaning it's not that it's either the top guy or the bottom guy. Now nobody has a right to it. But says Tosus, it's not true. The Lodami, Abaye, didn't think that was correct, because Manavshach, he's not the winner. Kaldon Gavar says, we know that either the top guy or the bottom guy is correct. We don't know which one is correct, so we're making a psak that whichever one is stronger is going to be the one that gets to win. But it does not open the door to anybody else to come in and take the water. Beis Din is able to limit it to either the top guy or the bottom guy. Again, indicating the two sides of this Tosfos, the Tosfos explaining in this Gemara, seem to be the issue of whether Kol Dalam Gavar is a total siluk or it's a psak. That Rav Simi Barashi apparently thought it was a total siluk. Beis Din saying, we step off, do whatever you want, do whatever I want, so then the middle field can take the water also. Whereas Abaye says, no, Beis Din is paskening. They're paskening, it's either the top guy or the bottom guy. So Beis Din is in fact paskening over here. Okay, and then Tosa says, Lo Tim, why didn't Why didn't he taste lahudia shelo al pivasa? He didn't want to take any fruits because he wanted to let it be known that this idea of going and tricking everybody was not his idea. He did not encourage this. It could be that he sold the fruits, meaning just as he didn't eat them, doesn't mean he didn't benefit from them. He might have sold them just because it's not gezel. If it was gezel, he wouldn't have sold it, but it's not gezel. It's only an issue of darkei shalom. Okay, says the Gemara Vayter. Hanu, another story. Hanu b'nei becharmach da azul karu b'resha de shanvasa va'adrua v'shadua b'shili nahara. There were these people of the city of Charmach that they would dig around their fields and they would divert their river in a circle all around their fields. So the river, as it was flowing, would pause to go around to make a circle around around these people's fields. So the people in the top fields that were near the river came to Abaye. They said, this guy's ruining our river. By the time the water gets to us, the flow has so slowed down that it's ruining the whole river. It's not watering our fields properly. So Abaye said, the people that dug around their fields, let them dig a little deeper so that the water will flow a little faster, so that by the time it will still be flowing a little bit by the time it gets to your field. So Amrle Kayafshi Pirin, they said, it's not going to work. There's simply not enough water. Over here, Pirin doesn't mean literally fruits. I mean, if we dig any deeper, then all the holes and the crevices where the water is supposed to get to are going to dry up. It's not going to be enough water. So he said, okay, good, then step away. So who's he saying step away to? So it says Toso, Slikun of Shaykhu Mehacha, Pirish Rach Dili'i Amar, She'in Yachal Limchos Behen, Mishum Dekal Da'olam Gavar. That Abaye was actually talking to the people who were complaining. Because if you look at the conversation in the Gemara, they're the ones that came to Abaye. So the whole conversation, the back and forth, is between Abaye and the people that were complaining. What Abaye was telling them is, sorry, there's nothing I can really do for you, because Kol Da'olam Gavar is the halacha, so you're going to have to deal with this on your own. Uktash mashma kein shari lahen haye medaber, says Tosos. It's mashma that that's who he was talking to, because that's who the whole conversation was in the entire Gemara. But then says Tosos, mikol makom nir kapir shakuntrus tulum nechar mechaye medaber, she yistumas mesibasam lo dami l'dravish mol klal. Says, but it's more likely, Tosos says, that Rashi is correct, that he was telling the people who had diverted the water all around their fields that they should be misalik themselves, they should undo what they had done, because this is not the case of Rav and Shmuel. The case of Rav and Shmuel is where the water is flowing by and you're diverting a little bit. It's not where you pull all the water all around your entire field. This is not the psak we would say called Olam Gavar. More likely, this is a case where the halacha is with those, the halacha is like those who were complaining and not like the people who were taking all of the water. Okay, says Gemara Vayter, Metzudas Chayev Ofos V'Dagim Yesh Ben Chule. So the Mishnah said Yesh Ben Mishum Darkei Shalom, that once something is trapped in an animal is trapped in a trap, you're not allowed to go and take it if it's not your trap because of Darkei Shalom. It's not Gezel Gamer, but at least Darkei Shalom. If you look at Tosfos says what this reminds you of right away when you're talking about taking food out of a trap. Reminds you of that Sagas Gavul Sugya in Maseches Baba Basra. It reminds you of the Sugya where the Gemara in Baba Basra says that Marchik and Metzudas Adag Min Adag, meaning that if you see someone has set up his traps by the river to catch fish, and you want to catch the fish, so what you do is you set up your trap a few feet before his, so that all the fish that would have gone to his are now going to come straight to yours, so you're not allowed to do that. You have to be marchik a certain distance, that the Gemara says in the second parak of Baba Basra. Says Tosfos, this is not like that. This is not the same. The Hasam over there, the issue is that you're taking away someone's parnasa. That over there, it's a halacha. It's not just a darkei shalom issue. It's a halacha that you're not allowed to go and take away somebody's parnasa. The guy says, you're taking pesak to luchiyusi, you're stopping my whole livelihood. But if a guy is just, it's not his job, it's just he's going out to enjoy a day fishing, so then it's not going to be considered it's not going to be considered stopping his parnasa, obviously, and therefore it's not going to be asur min ha-din. The only issue is one of darkei shalom, that it's not a nice thing to do. It doesn't help to promote shalom. So that's obviously a major sugya in Baba Basra about when we say that a person is not entitled to compete with somebody else in business because they're stopping their livelihood. It's obviously a very un-American thing, right? In America, there's it's all about competition. Let the market decide who's best and who's which store is better than the other, and free market. But the halacha is not exactly like that. That we're not allowed to have unfair competition. But okay, but that's not our sugya Tosfos saying. So we're not going to discuss it now. I have an article on the website about it. Okay, says Gemara Vaitu. So uzli v'uari kulei alma lo pligi. That when it comes to uzli v'uari, different types of traps that have a base kibul to them, they have there's an inside to the trap, so there's no machlokas by such traps that once the fish or the animal is inside that trap, so it's considered that the kli has been kona on behalf of the owner of the kli. It's as if the owner of the trap has already been kona the item. To then take it out of the trap is going to be mamish gezel, because the guy was already kona it. Ki pligi belachi v'kukari. He says the only machlokas is in types of traps where Rashi explains what they are exactly, but types of traps that don't have a base kibul. It's a string, Rashi says, that you run across the water with needles in it that the fish just swim right into and I guess stick to it, but it doesn't have a base kibul where it doesn't have a receptacle where the fish stay. So something like that, that's where you have a machlokas. But if it were had a base kibul, so you'd be kona from your kalim being kona the item for you. So the obvious implication over here is that clearly from the top Rashi at least, right, where he says the kivin diyeshlam toch kamelo kalov, that the reason your kalim can be kona is because they have a receptacle. They have a toch. They have an inside to the kli. So clearly the implication is that a kli that doesn't have a toch can't be kona. The problem is, the Gemara Bava Metzia Daf Samach Zayinam Beis says that when doing business, machtzalaos can be kona. That if you put something on a mat that belongs to you, so your mat can be kona for you. And a mat doesn't have a toch, it's just a flat thing. So how can it be that it's kona midin kelev shalom kona lo? How could it be that a mat is going to work? So the Machna Ephraim writes that it could be that balei chayim are different. It could be that in general, even kelim that don't have a toch can be kona, but balei chayim, live creatures, it could be that it's only going to be kona with a kli that has a toch. The Nesivus and Simon Reish Sif Gimel writes that when a kli doesn't have a toch, then it's only going to work to be kona for you when the owner is standing right next to it, and it really works midin yad. Over here, and that's what the Gemara Bava Metzia is talking about. You're standing right next to your mat, and the item is put in your mat. So since you're standing right there, it's kona midin yad. But when over here, you leave the trap, you set the trap up, and you walk away, so you're not standing right next to it. So that's why the kli needs to have a toch in order for it to be kona. Good, says the Gemara Vayter. Metzias Chereshot V'Katan, Rabbi Yossi Yom HaGezel Gamer. Machlokas in the Mishnah, Tanakama says that a Metzias Chereshot V'Katan, it's only a Darkei Shalom issue that you're not allowed to take away something that a Chereshot V'Katan found. And Rabbi Yossi says, no, it's Gezel Gamer. The Chereshot V'Katan was Kona, whatever they found. You taking it from them is Mamish Gezel, it's stealing. Some Rav Chis, says, Gezel Gamer mi Devrayim. He says, it's stealing, but it's only stealing mi Derabanan. Because on a Daraisa level, the Katan isn't really Kona. So it's only a mi Derabanan type of stealing. So, in fact, the Gemara, Lamay Nav Kamina, wait a second. A Derabanan type of stealing, what's the difference between that and Darkei Shalom? Darkei Shalom is also Derabanan, you're not allowed to do it. So, Gezel mi Derabanan is also you're not allowed to do it. So, what would be the Nav Kamina between the Tanakama and Rabbi Yossi? So, says the Gemara, Lo Tzio B'dayanin. The Nav Kamina is, can you sue? Meaning, if the guy did take it, can they take him to court to sue for it? So if it's only Medarke Shalom, so even Medina Derabanan, the person is allowed to take it from the Chereshot of Katan. It's only Darkei Shalom issue, so you can't sue. But if it's a Gezel Midrabanan, so you're allowed to sue for Gezel Midrabanan. Rashi says to the Rabbanan lo nafik b'dayanim. According to the Rabbanan, that it's only Darkei Shalom, you cannot take it away with Dayanim. Umil Rabbi Yossi Gezel Ma'ali Elohavi li pasul be'edus lavar lav b'lav. Rashi adds in something over here. He could have just said, but according to Rabbi Yossi, it's Gezel Ma'alia, and therefore you can get it away, you can take it back in court. It's not what Rashi says. Rashi says Gezel Ma'alia, and he says, I'm sorry, he could have said it's Gezel to the extent that you can get it back in court, but and that's what he means by Gezel Midrabanan. What Rashi goes to explain, though, is what's the difference in Gezel Midrabanan and Gezel Midaraisa? Is there any practical difference? Is there anything, if I violate Gezel Midrabanan, is there anything that's different between someone who violates Gezel Midrabanan and Gezel Midaraisa? So Rashi says, yeah, according to Rabbi Yossi, even though Rabbi Yossi says Gezel Midrabanan, it's not real Gezel in the sense that you're not going to become pasul be'edus and you will not have violated a los ha'semina Torah. So the Rashash asks, what do you mean? Gezel Midrabanan pasuls you from edus also. Right? The whole Mesachik B'kuvya sugya, what's that about? So the Gemara discusses, Mesachik B'kuvya, someone who's not osik b'yeshuvu shalolam, or is it Gezel Midrabanan? And the assumption is, either one is enough to pasul you from edus. Gezel Midrabanan certainly pasuls you from edus. So the Rashash explains that what Rashi means to say is that you're only pasul from edus midrabanan. Yes, it pasuls you from edus, but since it's only gezel midrabanan, only pasuls you from edus midrabanan. Maybe nafkamina would be that he's kasher le edus isha because he's not pasul edus on the daraisa level. He might be kasher le edus isha. You mean if you pay a kefel for stealing the rabbanon? Probably, I don't know. Don't know. I would think so, but I don't know. All right, says the Gemara Vayter. The Rambam in the Pirush Mishnayos writes that on a similar issue, that if you're kofer v'nishba, right, on if you steal on Gezel Drabanan, you're kofer v'nishba, you don't have to pay the extra chomesh. Whereas Gezel Daraisa, you kofer v'nishba, you'd have to pay the extra chomesh. So that would be nafkamina between Gezel Drabanan and Gezel Daraisa. Ani am enakif perosh hazayis masha tachtov. So we said if an ani is on top of an olive tree and he's knocking down the olives so that he can go collect them afterwards, so you're not allowed to go take it mipnei darkei shalom. And Rav Yossi said it's mamish gezel to go take it. So tane im likeit v'nasim biyad areza gezel gamer. If the ani is taking the olives with his hand, he's holding them in his hand and then throwing them down, so then for sure it's gezel gamer. He was kone it when he takes it in his hand, right? Then there's no doubt. The Tosa says, what's the chiddush of that? Chiddush is, I might have thought that since he doesn't hold it for more than 2 seconds, he's only, it's lo achaz ben ela lahapilam. He's only holding it to throw it down. He's not holding it to acquire it. So Kamash Malan, the Gemara is telling us that no, if you hold it in your hand, you're kone it right at that moment. Once you're kone it, it's definitely going to be gezel for anyone to come in and take it. Rav Kana v'kazel uhutzal. Rav Kana went to Hutzal, the town of Hutzal. Chazyalu gavra davashadi ufi v'kanatron tamari. He saw a guy who was shadi ufi. What does that mean? So Rashi says makalos. He was throwing sticks, and it was and he was detaching dates by throwing sticks at them. Azul kamankit v'yachol. So Rav Kahana was walking by, took some of the dates and started eating them. So the guy said, what are you doing? I used my hands for that. Once I use my hands to take it, it's mine, it's stealing. He says, you're from Rabbi Yoshia's hometown. Hutzal, which is the place where this was, happened to have been Rabbi Yoshia's hometown. He says, Rabbi Yoshia is so great, how he teaches all the balabatim in his town, know all the dinim about Gezel and Darkei Shalom, and they know exactly what the halach is, that he knew to tell me that because he was doing it by hand, that it's that I'm not allowed to take it. And he calls him Tzadik Yisod Olam. Chassam Sofer says, Tzadik Yisod Olam? Just for that? meaning, well, why tzaddik is so olam? So some sofer points out that the olam, the Mishnah Navos says that the three things the world stands on is din, emes, and shalom, right? So normally shalom and din are not necessarily the same. Like for instance, when things are mipnei darkei shalom, when you're misaking something mipnei darkei shalom, so shalom tells you don't take the fruits underneath the tree. Din tells you you can take the fruits underneath the tree. But Rabbi Yoshia would make sure that people would make din and shalom the same by telling people to be kona biyadayim. If they're kona biyadayim, then the din becomes the same as the shalom, right? The din becomes that you're not allowed to take it either, because he was already made a kinyan gomer on it. So that's why he called him tzaddik yisod olam. He made the din, emes, and shalom all together. They all fit on the same page, that they all work together in concert with each other. Tosos over here points out, shadi yufi midikla, pirish mekut zufi makalos. He says, v'kasha, Rav Kana, hechi ava man kut v'achol, milo ava chayish l'darki shalom. What was Rav Kana thinking? Rav Kana's not worried about darki shalom. He thought it's okay to go and take it. He said, meaning, granted, it wasn't Gezel Gomer, according to his Shita, but it was a violation of Darkei Shalom. Rav Kana shouldn't be violating Darkei Shalom. So says Tosus Nirk Rabbeinu Chananel Shapirush Ufi Chariyo Shal Dekel Avashadi Min Adekel. No, what it meant was not that he was throwing sticks at the dates to knock them down. He was up on the top of the tree and he was throwing down full branches at a time. Vinatri Tamari and dates were falling off of the branches. Rav Kana Yisavar Shalei Choshish Min Aperus. Rav Kana didn't realize that the guy was interested in the dates. He thought he was just pulling down branches from the tree. So I've kind of figured out, dates are falling off, I'll take some. And the guy said to him, no, I'm throwing this with my hand, that means it's Gezel. I own those dates, you're not allowed to go and take those dates. The Ramban and the Ritva explained differently from Rav Kana's perspective. They say that Rav Kana thought the guy was a guy, and it's not Shaykh Darkei Shalom. Rashash says that that Rav Kana thought that the, or that maybe even the halacha is that the Darkei Shalom issue is only by Matnos Aniyim, but not by a Dekel that's totally Hefker. So that was Rav Kana's thinking in going and taking it. Again, that would be the Darkei Shalom issue, but then the guy said, it's not just a Darkei Shalom issue, this actually belongs to me. You don't stop Aniyei Nachrim from taking Lekut Shichu Peah because of Darkei Shalom. Tanu Rabbanan, Mefarnesim Aniyei Nachrim Im Aniyei Yisrael. We support non-Jewish poor people together with Jewish poor people. The Tosin Avod Zara asked the obvious kasha, wait a second, isn't that in a violation of Lo Sichanim? Lo Sichanim means Lo Sitan Amatnas Chinam. You're not allowed to give a guy a gift for nothing. So isn't it Lo Sichanim to give Aniyei Yakum? Tosus of Adzar Davchav asks, isn't it Lo Sichanim to give Aniyeh, to give Parnasa to Aniyeh Yakum? So he says, no, it's not Lo Sichanim, because Lo Sichanim is when you're doing it for no other reason other than to give it to him. But over here, you're doing it to preserve Shalom in the world. It's Mipnei Darkei Shalom, so that's not called Lo Sichanim. Anything that's Mipnei Darkei Shalom is not called Lo Sichanim. Further, the Brisa says, "Umavakrin chole nachrim im chole Israel." You can visit non-Jewish sick together with the Jewish sick. And you also bury the non-Jewish dead together with the Jewish dead, meaning technically a Jewish body is a mitzvah of kvura, it has to be buried, whereas a non-Jewish body, there is no mitzvah of kvura, there's no mitzvah of halanas meis, and there's no mitzvah of kvura, but nevertheless you should bury the non-Jewish dead together with the Jewish dead. What does it mean together with the Jewish dead? Says Rashi, lo b'kivrei Yisrael. It doesn't mean literally in the same kvarim that you would bury the Jewish dead. If you find a lot of dead bodies, some Jewish, some non-Jewish, you should make sure that they all receive proper burial. But not to chas v'shalom bury the non-Jews in the Jewish cemetery. That you're not allowed to do. The Gemara in the Mishnah of Sanhedrin says that even amongst Jews, if people are of different caliber, you don't bury them. In Kovrin Russia, it's a tzaddik. You're not allowed to bury a Jew who's a Russian next to a Jew who's a tzaddik. That's what the Mishnah says, that for the Haruge based in, they would have different areas in the cemetery, different cemeteries for those who were Chayiv Skila, for those who were Chayiv Chenek, for different Chayivei Misa, because they're different Madregos of Isser. So even if it's a Russia, it's a Russia. But someone's a bigger Russia, someone's a lesser Russia, you don't bury them near each other. So of course you're not going to bury a guy next to a Jew. Rav Schechter often points out that's why the minhag developed that you have that shuls or communities own certain parts of a cemetery, because the assumption is people from the same shul generally are of the same level of religious observance. That's how they generally shuls tend to split up sometimes. So if that's the case, it's a way of observing this halacha, not to bury different people of different madrigos near each other. It doesn't always work out, but it's a rough estimate at least. Okay, so says the there's also a discussion over here. Rashi says you found dead Jews and dead goyim together. What if you only found dead goyim? Do you bury them also then? So the Rishonim point out from Rashi it sounds no. From Rashi it sounds only if you find Jews also, and you're already burying Jews, so then it will look bad if you're not going to bury the goyim. But if you're not burying Jews right now, you only found goyim, then you wouldn't have to worry about it. And the Rishonim disagree with that. If you look around, the Rishonim on this stuff disagree with Rashi on that point. Okay, says the Mishnah. You're allowed to lend to a woman who's chashud on to not observe the halachos of Shemitah, meaning specifically the halacha worried about over here is the halacha of biur, that of getting rid of the fruits when it's kalim and asada, when the fruits are no longer in the field, you have to get rid of it min habayis. So you have a woman who's not observant, doesn't observe the halachos of Shemitah, so you're still allowed to lend her all the kalim that she needs to make her food. But you shouldn't actually do borer and grinding and do all the work together with her. That you shouldn't help her out directly. Rashi says, why? That while someone's doing an avera, you're not allowed to help them do the avera. It sounds from Rashi that prior to them doing the avera, meaning it sounds from the Mishnah, prior to them doing the avera, even though you are aiding them in doing the avera by lending them your kalim, you're allowed to do it because it's not the shas avera. When I lend them my oven, it's not the shas avera yet. So it sounds like it would be mutter. Shar Mitzvah Balacha discusses over here based on that. Would it maybe be mutter? There's a problem, there's a halachic issue with being mesarek kiddushin for a couple that you know is not going to observe taras hamishpacha, because you say yei de over avera, right? You're helping them violate the avera of the iser bole nidos, the iser of nida. So what about doing shiduchim for them? It's not the shas avera yet. Maybe shalom b'shas avera, it's mutzer to be mesarek de over avera. What about selling chametz 3 days before Pesach to a non-observant Jew? So you know he's probably going to eat it, but it's not the Shas Aver yet. So that's what Shor Mitzion Balacha discusses over here. Eishas Chavar Mashalos Le'Eishas HamaAretz Nafa V'Kavra. An Eishas Chavar can lend to an Eishas HamaAretz. Again, all these different kelim to sift out all the junk from the flower. Uvareris V'Tochenes V'Marakedes Hima. And she can actually do the Malacha with her. She could do the Borer with her, and the Tochen, and the Merakid. She could do all the Malachas with the flower. Aval Mishetatel Samayim. But one once they put water in that in the flour to start kneading the dough, lo siga ima, she shouldn't touch it anymore. Because you're not supposed to help out over avera. Meaning, once it touched water, now there's going to be a chi of chala that's going to be created, and the woman in Eishas Amaretz is tamei, so she's going to be goreim tuma to chala. You're not allowed to be goreim tuma to chala, so now you step away. And all these things that we allow is only because of darkei shalom. You're allowed to encourage non-Jews during the Shemitah year, but not Jews during the Shemitah year. The Gemara will discuss what that means. But it sounds like a Jew doing work on the field during the Shemitah year should not be encouraged in any way, but a non-Jew can be helped. B'shalom b'shalom and b'mnei darkei shalom. And in general, you should always be shalom b'shalom on all days, Rashi says. This has nothing to do with Shemitah. You should always say shalom aleichem, good morning, to a non-Jew, b'mnei darkei shalom. And the point is, even not just good morning, that's obvious, even shalom aleichem, which is using the Shem Hashem, because it's one of the shemos of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even that you can use to greet a guy, b'mnei darkei shalom, as a way of promoting peace. So says Gemara, Maishna Resha, Maishna Seifa. Why is it that at first we said, when we were talking about someone who's chashed on Shemitah, so we said you should not actually do the malachos together with her. Don't help her do the borer and everything else, and the meraki. And yet, when it came to a woman who was just an Eishas HamaAretz, we said you are allowed to be borer and tochein and helping and all these things, as long as once it's ready to be needed, you step away. Isn't that also being a Misayei Dei Over Avera? The Eishas HamaAretz doesn't take Trumas and Maestros from her produce. So you're going and you're helping her make food out of it. it's tevel. There's no chumas and maestros. Why is that okay? So says Amar Abayi, Rov Amayaretz Ma'asrenhein. Abayi says no. Most Amoratim do take Trumas and Maestros. The fact that we have a halacha, a whole mesechta about this halacha called Demai, that when you buy produce from an Amoratz, you have to take Trumas and Maestros again, is because we're choshesh for, it's a takana, to be choshesh for the miut of Amoratz that don't take Trumas and Maestros. But on the majority, they do take Trumas and Maestros. So therefore, you don't have to worry about Mesayideh over Avera, because the majority is you're not being Mesayideh over Avera. But by Shemitah, we're talking about a woman who the Mishnah said that L'chavera we know that this woman is suspected of not observing the laws of Shemitah. Rava says, no, the type of Amaretz we're talking about over here is Rav Meir's definition of an Amaretz. And we're dealing with Tumah Derabanan. What's Rav Meir's definition of an Amaretz? Titania, Ezu Amaretz. Kol she'eino ochel chulav bitara, divra meir. Amaretz is just someone who doesn't eat his chulin bitara. He takes trumas and maestros. Everything is fine. It's just that he doesn't observe things bitara. He doesn't. He's not careful about tumentara. And he doesn't eat his chulin bitara. The chamarim kol she'eino master peros. The cham say no. An amaretz is someone who doesn't take maestros. But we're working with Rav Meir's definition of amaretz. So we know this guy took this woman took trumas and maestros. The issue is only a tara issue that she's going to be metame the chala biyadayim. So that you're not allowed to let her do. Iva midiktani sefer mishtatel samayim lo tiga ima mechal deresh alav b'tumah v'tara skinan. But wait a second, we only introduce tumah v'tara once we get to the point of the water touching the flower and saying that now there's going to be a chiyuv chala, so you shouldn't touch, you should stay away from it. So that doesn't that imply that up until that point we weren't discussing anything that had anything to do with tumah v'tara? Meaning, didn't that imply that up until that point the stuff wasn't even hukshar lekabel tumah? There was no possibility of tumah before that point. But according to what you're saying, what we're saying now is no. It was hukshar lekabel tumah, and you're allowed to help the ama aretz because all they're doing is causing tumah to chulin. The only problem is once the water hits it and now it becomes a dough, now it's going to become chala. It's not going to be chulin anymore. So that's the problem. So says the Gemara. Yeah, reisha v'sefer b'tumah v'tara v'reisha b'tumah chulin v'sefer b'tumah chala. That's what the Mishnah means. Everything is about tumah v'tara. The reisha and the sefer, the issue is one of tumah v'tara. Both prior to the water hitting the flower and after the water hitting the flower, it's an issue of tumah v'tara. Why do we allow you helping before the water hits the flower? Because ein achinami, you're going to be metami it, but it's only chulin, so it's no problem to be metami it. Once the water hits the flower, though, now we're not so okay with you being metami it, because now it's going to become chayv and chal, it's no longer chulin. Says Gemara Ureminhu, tochanin, umafkidin etzaloch leshviyas veetzaloch leperosein betuma, that you're allowed to grind tvua or be mafkid tvua by someone who eats Shemitah produce, meaning and also be mafkid stuff by someone who eats their peros betuma. I mean, the point is, we're not worried. If I leave my stuff by them, I'm not worried that they're going to switch my stuff for theirs, that they're going to stick in Shemitah produce in place of what I gave them. Avalola ochle shvi is avalola ochle perosein betuma. But what I can't do is I can give them my stuff to watch, but I'm not allowed to grind their stuff for them. I'm not allowed to be misayeya in their avera. They're giving me their fruits, which are Shemitah produce. I'm not allowed to be misayeya them in actually grinding their produce. So you see that so Rashi says, what do you see? Masnisim katani tochenesima. Our Mishnah said that you can be tochen together with the woman who's chashal shviyas, and we said we're dealing with someone who's ochel chulin betuma. So Amar Abayi hasam bekoin achashal vechol truma betuma askinan davi latuma daraisa. No, the difference is over there we're dealing with someone with a kohen who's chashal to eat truma betuma, and therefore it's going to be a problem of tuma on a daraisa level. That's why you would have a problem. I mean, that's what the issue would be when you're dealing with a kohen where it's an isur daraisa for him to eat the truma betuma. Well, you're dealing with stama guy who's eating chulin, and the issue is only that he's going to eat chulin betuma, so that's not a major concern. Frak the Gemara, ihachi mafkidin, or aminu mafkidin truma etzel Yisrael ama'aretz, v'loetzel koin ama'aretz m'nei shalibo gaspa. So we learned elsewhere that you're allowed to keep your truma by Yisrael's ama'aretz, because he's not going to touch it, he's going to leave it where you left it, but you're not allowed to keep your truma by a kohen who's not maaretz, mimreisha libo gaspa, because the kohen is very comfortable dealing with truma, and we're afraid that if you leave your truma by the kohen who's not maaretz, he's going to touch your truma, he's going to mess around with it and make it tamei. So how could it be so that you're allowed to be mafkid your produce by the kohen that's nama aretz? After all, shouldn't you may not have to worry that he's going to switch it, but he's going to touch it. Some rabbi lai hachem ma'askinan b'klicheres hamukav samit psil. Then no, we're dealing with a case where you gave it to him in a klicheres that has a cap on it that protects the contents from becoming tamei in a way that if you touch the outside of the kli, nothing's going to happen, or if nothing's going to happen to the contents of the kli, so you don't have to worry about the possible tuma that it's going to cause. Frek the Gemara v'lecha shema tasitenu ishtonida. Having it in a klicheres with a cap on it doesn't protect it from the guy's wife who might be a nida from moving it. And then it can become tamei with tumas hesed, so it can still become tamei. Elo am Rabbi Yirmi elo kasha. Kan beperul shu hukshru, kan beperul shalo hukshru. When we say that ein mafkidin, that you're not allowed to keep it by the ama aretz, that's talking about perus that are already hukshru lekabel tuma. When we say that you can be mafkidin, that you can leave it by the kohen that's ama aretz, it's talking about perus that are not yet hukshru lekabel tuma. But it's both are talking about truma, and you're certainly not allowed to be misayeya to do an avera with their produce, but your produce you're allowed to leave by them if it's not hukshar. Good. So that's the meaning. Why can't you be misayeh with their produce? Because you don't know if their produce is hukshru or not hukshru. Yours, you know. So if you know your produce is not yet hukshru lekabel tuma, you can leave it by them because it can't become tameh. So you don't have to worry they're going to switch it. And you can leave it by them because they're not going to be metameh and their wives aren't going to be metameh. But to help them with their stuff, so you have to, you don't know that it wasn't hukshar, so you have to assume you're helping them making a tameh, which is a problem. Ureminu amale chitin letochin kut. If you bring wheat to a grinder who's a kuti or an amaretz, hare ilu b'cheskasan l'maisu l'shviyas avalo l'tuma, so they're still muchsak l'gabi, however you left it with them l'gabi maisu and shviyas, but not l'gabi tuma. So you see that there is considered a tuma problem. So don't you see that if you leave it with an amaretz, it is going to cause a tuma problem? So says the Gemara, meaning apparently we are concerned that he's going to touch it and make it tame. Says Gemara, hi my rumi, alavu kim n'perish lo hukshru. What are you talking about? We just explained that there's not going to be a tuma problem if the fruits are not hukshru l'kabel tuma. So maybe that's what we're talking about, that you can give it to the tochen who's a zukuti or an amaretz, because we're talking about tvua that's not yet hukshru l'kabel tuma. So Frank Gemara, the karla my karla, what were we even thinking when we asked the question? Obviously, we're talking about something that's not kabel tuma. So mishum dekabay lemir miachriti Allah. Now, the reason we mentioned is because we wanted to ask a different question. Harel b'cheskas the ma'isul l'shvius l'chlufei lo cheshinan. We said when you give it to the tochen, you don't have to worry that he's going to mix it. He's going to switch it for his stuff. That he's going to give you something else that is that's tevel or that's shmita produce. Or a minu, and on that we have a stira to ask. If you give your produce to your mother-in-law to watch for you or to grind or to take care of for you, you give a dough to make for you, right? So you give her your produce to make a dough out of. So you have to take maisos on the stuff that you give to her, and then again the stuff that you get back from her. You have to worry that she's switching it for stuff that is not yet tithed. So you have to worry that you're going to have to take Trumas and Maestros again. So don't you see that you do have to be choshed that the person is going to be Machlif? So it says Gemara, Hasam Kedigtani Taima, Amrav Yudha Rotzi Betakanas Bito Boshu Mechasana. No, over there there's a specific reason that you have to worry, because mothers-in-law want to impress their sons-in-law, so they're likely to switch it for the better dough. They're just going to switch it for something better because they want to do the nice thing. So because they want to try to impress you, and they want to make their daughters happy, so that's why you have to be concerned. Are we generally not concerned that they might switch it? Even just when you give it to a pundikus, to your host that you're staying by, you also have to assume that she might have switched it. So it says over there you have to assume that the reason she switched it is because there's a reason she might be more heter to herself to switch it. Machlokas Rashi Rashi tells us what this means. Either in a way that she's saying, ah, it's not nice that I should give him, that he should eat, this Talmud Chacham should eat this bad stuff. Let me switch it for something better. Or the way Tosfos says is, why should he have all the good stuff? Let me take the good stuff. I'm putting him up. I'm hosting him. So why should he leech off of me? Let me take all the good stuff and I'll give him all the bad stuff. But either way, you're worried about the switch.